Blog Talk Radio.
Today, and we've got some callers calling in. And if you're listening to us and you'd like to call in with a question or you want to call in with a comment, you may dial in at 347-215-8717. And this is Women United today. And we're coming at you with the things that are of importance, and particularly legislation that was passed recently about what people can do in selling cars to particularly people of color, because we all know that just as in the housing industry, you can lay two people's records, credit reports, applications together, and you'll see discrimination written all over it. It's been tested, tried. That's the way it is. However, this Congress just passed a law that says it's okay to do that sort of thing in America, which is a sad commentary. Okay, and we're going to talk about that as well as what happens to women out in the diaspora. So if you can call in to Block Talk Radio with Women United, call in at 347-215-8717 to discuss the rape of those who are the least of these, who are being molested, raped, and abused by people in power. Okay. So, and of course, I have my own personal story I'll share. I'm just getting to the point where I can share my own personal story. So if we have time at the end of the hour, I'm going to just talk a little bit about that as well. With the St. Paul Police Department, an experience that I had with some people there that were in law enforcement. My arresting officer was Darren McDonald. And I'm going to talk about what happened, and then his assistant came along, Officer Thomas Reese, and they had some very uncanny things that they were doing on that day, simply because we wanted to protest how they were doing Mrs. Dorothy Dunning about her grandchildren here in the state of Minnesota. So that being said, we're going to first start out with the article on police officers and some of the data that was there. And Yasmin, did you get a chance to talk to look at that article and have any comments on that?
Actually, not. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Mr. Actually, not. I didn't have a time, but I see the article.
Oh, great, great. I'm glad you saw that. And basically what that article talked about was this. That article talked about how officers across the nation, thousands of them, they gave the exact number, and I'll get the article pulled up probably before we hang up here again, but they were talking about how they had been released from duty, fired, because they had raped women or molested women. And I did see some there that they had molested, raped boys, men. So, and we know that happened in New York with some officers, and they did a little bit of time for it, but not very much. So this article is stating that these people have been doing these sorts of things. And then we have in Oklahoma a case now where an officer is on trial, and the trial started, I believe, a week or two ago in reference to him raping about 13 women, 14 women, and those are the ones that they were counting. And, you know, if people do that, those are the ones that would happen to stand up. So they would, he would catch these women in a situation where they would, you know, had something on them in terms of, and maybe they had trouble before. And so he's saying basically nobody's going to believe you anyway. And so I get a chance to rape you or molest you. And he, I think there was even one teenager that this man has been accused of raping. And so we know when it gets to be this thick, it's usually pretty accurate information, because they don't even get to court with the things that they do oftentimes, because for some reason they're in a protected class. And unfortunately, this is what happens. So what do you think about officers that are in that kind of a situation, that they can do these sorts of things to people because they have power and authority over them? What do you think about that, Ms. Celine?
It's not fair for a woman of color. You know, I mean, I see a lot of people complain of the officer, how they disrespect all the time, because you're nothing. Basically, you can nothing, you know. I can do whatever I want to. It's like, and nobody want to do nothing about it.
Right, right. That's usually what happens. People don't want to do anything about it. And how dare you to stand up for yourself and say, you can't say that you can't treat me this way. That's just like when we were here protesting the Supreme Court ruling that these two granddaughters of Miss Dorothy Knox Dunning were given to the foster family. What we did is protested, and I guess the judge didn't like it. Catherine Quaintance didn't like that, so she came all the way out of family court to criminal court to try to get me on some bogus charge. And then, as if that weren't enough, here they come back at you with over and over and over again the same mess. So they terrorize you to try to make you shut up and take all of the abuse that they are willing to dish out. And Mrs. Dunning happened to be with me the day I was abused by a couple of police officers in St. Paul. The St. Paul police officer, Darren McDonald, and his backup that came was Officer Thomas Reese. Actually, Mr. McDonald, Officer McDonald, Darren McDonald, pulls me out of the handicapped spot to abuse me. Now, why would you abuse a handicapped senior citizen female? You got three deals going on with this guy. And as I was looking through Darren McDonald's, Officer Darren McDonald's records, you know, he had apparently a little problem before that with crashing cars, not getting his, what do you call it, his in-service in for the shooting range. And I thought, well, thank God, because I probably would have gotten shot like Michael did in Ferguson there in Missouri if the guy had gone to practice, because he was just full of hell and had no respect, period, for his community, for women, for disabled people, for seniors. Darren McDonald, Officer Darren McDonald, should have been fired on the spot from that situation. And Mr. Thomas Reese, who came and told me, get up off the ground, I'm laying flat on the ground, face down, handcuffed behind my back, on a bogus, him telling me, you have a warrant out for your arrest. And I said, no, I don't think so, not me. And if I did, I'd certainly get it taken care of immediately. Well, you're going to be under arrest. You're under arrest. So I thought, okay. So it was just an awful, awful situation. It was just unbelievable that anybody who's pretty much a law-abiding citizen, well, am a law-abiding citizen, would be treated that way. And it was quite unbelievable. And so here we have people, if they can treat a person like myself that way, I've paid taxes all my life, worked hard all my life, been a very good civic-minded, you know, person, but simply said, I don't think you need to do this particular thing in this way. So if you protest, then guess what? You're going to get it from police. And like Edward said last week on the show, all of them are connected in with each other. The prosecutor doesn't do his or her job anymore in this country. They're not supposed to be on doing what they do with police officers like the guy did in Ferguson. That's not what their job is. They're supposed to be there for the people as well as the officers are, but that's not happening. The prosecutors, the police, the judges, it's just unbelievable the corruption that goes on. Unbelievable. And then you have this section of the police department. They're basically just nothing but Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis embedded in police departments, and that's what happens. So the article is a very good article, and it gives you two things. It gives you a way of looking at people, the way things really are in this country now, legally, statutorily, the whole works. So it's just unbelievable the level of corruption that's there. And people, Officer Darren McDonald, who was abusive at best by doing what he did, pulling a handicapped person, senior citizen, female, on some bogus charge because someone had told him these people were protesting and we're going to physically assault them in some kind of way or humiliate them in some kind of way so that they will not do that. And so I know, Dorothy, would you like to add anything else to that particular situation?
Yes, I most certainly would hire one during today. Do you not know that was the most degrading and the most frightening thing that I ever seen? I never seen anything like that. Police just come out of nowhere and harass people just because they want to stand up for what they believe in. And also the way they threw you down on the ground and handcuffed you. And you was telling them that I can't get up. And they was deliberately trying to drag you up and your hands behind your back. And you walking on a walker. I mean, it just terrible the way the peoples are today. And the polices don't have no regard for nobody black anymore. And not only just black people, poor people, people in general. The policeman wants to be the judge and jury. And this is
and
what it's turning out to be.
And
the executioner. This is what it's turning out to be. People are not safe. The police, you cannot even call the police. It pays not to call the police for anything. It pays for you to try to handle your situation yourself, because it just, you don't know what you may get when they come to the door.
That's the problem. You don't know what you're going to get, and that's the problem, and that's why it's important. I mean, people have to really decide, am I going to get what you call, I call them the psycho cop, like a Darren McDonald from the St. Paul police to come, or am I going to get some sane person who knows their job well and is going to be respectful, and they understand that these are the people to pay their salaries and that they are sane, because some of these guys are, quite frankly, they look insane. You can tell they're insane, or either they're on some kind of drugs or something. You know, this guy comes up playing this loud music, and, you know, it's scritching, and he's, like, getting ready to bust down some big drug bust or some big bank robber or some big something, and here you're dealing with a senior citizen, disabled female. It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so bizarre. And so we're going to move to, I'll let you get one more comment in, and then we're going to move on to David, and he's going to talk a little bit about the two articles. Okay, Dorothy, go on.
Okay, and also, and I was just listening at CNN, where the other mother, her son was killed in Chicago, and she had been trying to get her video released for over a year. And this is what happened with this mother. And she was saying that her son, all the witnesses are saying that her son was running away from the incident where somebody had got shot and got killed. When the police seen him running, he stepped out of his car and shot this young man in the back 4 to 5 times. Then the young man had nothing in his hand. He wasn't threatening the police. First they said he had a gun. First they said he turned. Now all these different stories are going on right now. So this is, I think that we need to reach out and start to getting a petition or something signed so this young mother can get her son's tape released, because they are refusing to release the tape. Anytime they refuse to release the tape, that tells you right there is a problem. There is something that they don't want you to see. Because when they wanted you to see that by Michael Brown, after they told them that, you know, they told them not to release the tape. Eric Holder told them not to do it. But they released it anyway. So anything to benefit them, they're going to release it. So that tells me that they won't release this tape, just like this other tape, for 1 year. This mother is crying out. So we need to be trying to reach out and get a something started, a petition, so we can try to get this mother to get this tape released.
Okay,
in Chicago.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. David, I see you were able to join us today.
Yeah, well, I can't participate because especially with regard to those articles, because I can't pull them up. As you know, I'm having general system problems, so I can't pull those articles up.
Okay, maybe Shira, can you talk a little bit about that? Let's see if Ashira is on the line here. Okay, in a nutshell, let me just, I'm going to go off of memory what I read. The first article talked about the legislation that was just passed last week that stated that the United States of America is willing to allow car dealerships to target and charge African-American people and Hispanic people more interest rates, higher interest rates than the other population. That's what the article in a nutshell talks about. And we know they've done that with housing forever, and we do know that it definitely has been that way. And that's why one of the agencies had charged them with and said, you can't do that. However, when it went to Congress, they said, oh, that's okay. We don't mind you all charging minority people more interest rates when they buy cars, new and used cars. That's an okay thing in America now. So what do you guys think about that? I mean, that's the gist of the situation.
Well, Miss Hattie, if it's okay to shoot a black person and in the street like a dog, it's okay to whatever you do to charge them more money to hurt them economically so they will not be able to do for themselves. This is a system set up to make people that disfranchise and who are not able to be able to, not to be able to do anything for themselves, they want to keep the people in more and more and more poverty. This is what they're trying to do. That is my opinion. They don't want you to get anything. They want you to stay in poverty. And long as they can keep you in poverty, they can keep you under control. That's my opinion now.
Okay. Thank you.
What, Mother Hattie, can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I'm still inside of the store. But I did want to just speak on the articles and the banks being allowed to charge people of color those high interest rates. I think that it's deplorable. I think that President Obama and Loretta Lynch, who worked with a lot of these banks before to secure all of these different types of policies, I think that they should definitely do something. I don't know what exactly President Obama can do, but I know that Loretta Lynch was the lawyer for a lot of these different banks, so she knows exactly what's going on. She was the attorney. So she helped craft these laws, and she helped craft the...
Who is that breathing so hard? They're out of breath.
David, go on.
Oh.
Go on mute, David. David, notice David. And but anyway, so that is just totally wrong. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the poor little black people or the poor little Latinos or the people coming from Central America. Nobody cares. Just do them any kind of way. Just shoot them in the street, take their kidneys, charge them higher interest rates. Honda, Toyota, they've all been brought up on these charges. They've all been cited, rather, because they haven't been charged with anything because Loretta Lynch fixed that where they can't be charged. But they've all been cited for charging us
discrimination.
Discrimination. And nothing.
It's racial discrimination. That's all it is. It's sanctioned racial discrimination.
That's exactly what it is. And Delta, as far as that mother that's trying to get a tape release, see, this is back to the problem that I have with these so-called pastors and black leaders. They know exactly what steps that woman needs to take to have their tape released. It's not difficult. All she got to do is find a reporter to file a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. That's all she got to do. And they should be there helping her with that. She shouldn't have to be looking for different people all around the country, somebody in Mississippi trying to pick up her case. There are people right there, newspapers right there, Chicago, that could file for that for her. And then,
but
and the
they did. They did. They filed. I want you to know. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want you to know they did file. They did
so
file. She have a lawyer, and the lawyer say every time he filed, the police union and the city, just like they did this case right here, they are fighting to have the tape not released.
Okay, at a certain point, from my understanding, when you file that Freedom of Information Act, you get it. It has to be released. So
well, they ain't did it. They blocked it.
Well, I don't think you know what they, you know, they don't release them, and they will not release them, because what they tell the people is this will compromise my case, and they do not have to release them. And David, perhaps if you can say yes or no to that, I don't know if you can communicate to that level, but you would know more about this than any of us in terms of releasing.
Yeah, because we need information.
Well,
on
wait a minute.
That.
If you're asking me a question,
that.
Let me answer it. They can certainly file a motion to suppress the any kind of tapes, but that motion has to be heard and decided by a judge. And any such judge is going to be under a great deal of pressure because the argument will not hold that they're concerned about maintaining the peace, and since the release of a tape is liable to incite people to demonstrate and maybe riot, therefore it's too dangerous to be released. They can make that argument, but it's a relatively weak argument. Similarly, with regard to the bill in the House to suppress information pertaining to racial discrimination in auto lending, and this bill that would presumably allow out-and-out racial discrimination in lending has not been passed. I'll also say that this guy, I've seen articles from this guy, David Dayden, D-A-Y-E-N. I don't have a great deal of confidence in his articles, but people are talking about this business with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as if this is law. It's not law. It's not liable to be law because it's unconstitutional. Congress and nobody else can pass a law allowing discrimination because they feel like it. Okay, so this is not a law, and I don't think it's going to be a law, so I would suggest those people discussing it as if it is a law to save their brain cells and see what happens about it, because I don't think it's going to pass. And as far as David Dayen, D-A-Y-E-N, is concerned, he writes a lot of incendiary articles. I'm not saying that what he does add, but it's not accurate. But his writing is persuasive that, similar to what I'm hearing on this conference call, people think stuff has happened that hasn't happened. And that's something that hasn't happened and is not going to happen. Congress cannot pass a law reenacting segregation. They cannot enact a law calling separate but equal. Those things have been litigated already. There's a big difference between what people want to do, including politicians, and what they can do. Because they could do what they'd like to do. We'd have had slavery in this country after the Civil Rights Act in 1954. That's all I have to say. say about it.
Thank you. Well, before we run out of time, let's move on to the other article. Appreciate your expertise on that, David. Let's take a look at the other article there about the level of rape and molestation going on. Shira, did you want to expound on that one?
In just one second, I'll be able to.
Okay. I'll give them a little bit of backdrop on that article. And that article is giving out the data on the number of officers that have been fired, let go because of raping people. And wanted to talk about that because we have a case now in Oklahoma. And Sister Dorothy can fill us in on that one, where they are. They started the trial, I understand. And this guy has raped, he's accused of raping about,
I think about 14 women.
14, yep, 13, 14 women.
13 or 14 women. Yeah, here's the deal. A lot of this stuff, as we always say, we say this every week, this is nothing new. I'm so glad I listened to this lecture that Ta-Nehisi Coates gave. And if you have not purchased that book, In Between, I think it's Between Me and In Between Me and the World, a book that he wrote to his son, Toni Morrison, has stated that it's required reading. Pick that book up. In a lecture, he spoke about police brutality, and he stated that, thank you, none of this is new. What's new is the cameras. So these police officers, just like slave masters on the plantation, have been raping women and men forever. I know so many people have mentioned how the police officers were dismissive. They pull you over, they rape you, steal your drugs, impound your car, all of this stuff. They do all of this, always have, and now it's just coming out. People feel more open to be able to speak about it and report these cases. I think it's horrible. I hope that this man gets the maximum amount of years. But I don't have faith in this justice system in terms of prosecuting police officers to the fullest as they should. And Motherhead, I just really want to quickly go back, because that's very important, about this whole deal with the racial discrimination with the cars. I don't think that it's a law that's being passed. What it is there are no there's not being any type of repercussions for these companies doing this. So it's like, it's okay. You can do it. We're not going to prosecute you.
Exactly.
So whether it's a law or not, the fact of the matter is these people are allowed to continue doing this. So it's law, de facto law. I think that's what you would call it. So
okay.
And David, correct me if I'm wrong, David. But, you know, because I do want to understand this, because if this is so, then these are the kind of things that we should be in uproar about as well. How is it that you're going to sit here? I mean, we went through the housing bubble. We know what they did with the subprime loans, Wells Fargo and banks like that, charging black people more. So, I mean, why do we have to keep going through this? Why do we have to keep going through the discrimination, the rape, and all this, and then you continuously rape us physically, monetarily, mentally, emotionally? It's just too much.
Well, in my opinion, you look at Shaw. First of all, I can't hear very well. I'm having a lot of trouble with my telephone system. It has nothing to do with conference call. But if this is you're talking about the article about sexual abuse by the police. This is police is a paramilitary organization. Just look at all of the articles and information in the media about sexual abuse in the military. It's totally commonplace. Something like one out of three, if not more than that, females in the military claim that they've been subjected to racial sexual harassment. I mean, for real. I don't mean just, you know, casual comments, touching, rape, and so forth. And the police and the military are very similar in that respect, especially in view of the fact that a high percentage of police have military backgrounds, certainly, than any other occupation in the country. So these people were doing it in the military, and now cops, they're doing it as cops. And one of the reasons why they do it is because they can get away with it, as was said, to an extent. And the other reason is that they're products of a sexist, racist culture. And sexism is used in these cops in the military, and, you know, in the police environment, because this is a masculine-oriented environment, and it's very common for people in that kind of environment to make all kinds of jokes about homosexuality. It also reminds me a lot of 1 year I worked in the political union in New York when I was in college. They had a special program for college students where you can make a pretty good salary as an electrician's assistant, and then they give you $60 a month while you were in school, which was a lot of money. I, you know, I didn't do it for the most part. I only did it for one summer because I expected to be working in offices and dealing with a lot of redneck racist union people was going to help me in my career. Somebody who would be working in offices, I need to learn how to dose people. But when I did work there this summer, these guys were constantly, when I say constantly, that's what I mean, making jokes about each other's sexuality, talking, screwing each other in the butt, talking about each other off. And this was supposed to be funny. Of course, you know, in their lunch hour, you know, they would be on the side of the building looking at women walking, making all kinds of lewd comments, because that's that was the culture that they were in. Now, as far as I'm concerned, men who make jokes about screwing each other in the behind and sucking each other off are more likely to engage in that kind of behavior than men who don't make humor at these kinds of circumstances. So as far as I was concerned, though, they were supposed to be so macho and everything, they were bigger maggots as a group, as far as I was concerned, than the average population. And the same thing goes with these cops and military people. They're, you know, they're into that stuff because that's the culture that they're a part of, and they're more likely to engage in that kind of behavior given a chance than the ex-population. And that's really what's happening.
So, and so what she was
you know,
asking...
They have these women intimidated, women in the military, that they expect to get away with this stuff, and for the most part they do. It's only the except that we hear about of women who are able to ready to speak out. I'm sure that's maybe one out of 30 or 30. The other 9 out of 30 just take whatever comes and deal with it as best they can.
Okay, David, and the other question was, if they don't do anything about this high interest for, there are no repercussions for it, is that de facto, it's not a law, but it's an unwritten law that we're not going to do anything about it.
I don't think it's going to happen. In any case, with regard to interest rates in loans, a lot of times do a risk assessment, and they will jack the rates up based on assessment, which they can basically get away with. In other words, they don't have to charge everybody the same interest rate. They decide somebody, you know, has financial problems, or if they decide
this was solely based on race, because they just like they
no,
did
they
those
can't
tests
do
on
it
housing.
Based on race, they cannot have a law that says blacks and Hispanics pay more than white people. They can have a custom, but they cannot have a law.
Okay,
period.
So that is a custom.
That's what we're saying, that it's a custom, and Obama is aware of it, and along with the Justice Department, but no one's being prosecuted for this. No one's being charged for this, and they're allowing them.
They have a certain degree of latitude based on their assessment of people's circumstances. This is not Obama's fault, okay? This is not Lynch's fault. This is something that's been going on ever since they've had these kind of loans. And like I say, any lender has a certain amount of latitude to make adjustments in interest rates based on a risk assessment. That's certainly true with the automobile
loan.
So
can Obama or Loretta Lynch do anything? That's my question. Are they in the position to be able to enforce this? Enforce that there be either some type of reparations for those people that were charged the high interest rates, or that these banks are prosecuted?
I'm telling you, the lenders have a certain amount of latitude. Something you have to realize, which I think a lot of people on this conference call don't appreciate, is that because Obama is black, that doesn't mean that we can expect him to take over the country like Patrice Lumumba or Idi Amin or somebody. Just take over the country, throw the Constitution out the window, and do things the way we as black people want them to be done. It doesn't work that way. And he's limited too, but the custom and law are two different things.
But that's what
on that
I'm
note,
trying to find out. Is there anything?
Okay,
because if he can't, then I understand. That's what I want to do. I want to be educated.
There are limitations as to what they can do. They can't charge white people 8% and then charge black people 20%. But if they have a justification, which they can pretty much come up with, they can certainly charge black people more. It's up to the borrowers to hold their ground and insist that the rates they're being charged are too high, and they're not
okay.
going to pay those rates, or the rates that they're trying to charge them, and that would have a certain degree of success, because if these people can't make the loans, if black people simply aren't going to go for it, then they are definitely going to make downward adjustments in these policies. But these are policies and customs that are you know, written to protect lenders. If you have a bad credit rating, it's just like if you're trying to borrow money from some credit agency, household finance or something, and you have a bad credit rating, they're going to charge you more for the loan than if you had a good credit rating. And they have the latitude to do that.
That's the whole thing, though. What the article and what people have filed is that they have the same credit score as the next person, but they're still being charged the higher interest rate.
Well, they have a valid suit under those circumstances. But that doesn't mean that it's Obama's fault or Lynch's fault. It's a custom, and that's a good way to attack that with the class action suit.
Great. Well, we're out of time, but